Hey man, woo! New year. We're not quite there yet. It's like
we're still recording from last year.
Yeah, that's right. We're like at almost empty in the tank, and I can see the gas station. You know, the holiday break ahead of me, and I cannot wait. Yeah. Holidays often exhaust me because of just the stupidity of what happens, but they also invigorate me because of my family.
Yeah, there's extra ministry stuff usually that goes on during the holidays too.
Oh, so, the amount of marriage issues that happen during the holidays.
Yeah.
Anyways, to pick up where we left off a little bit, I just want to say, first of all, you guys have allowed Justin and I to do so much work in ministry and advancing the gospel that I don't even know how to express to you how thankful I am. And I know that Justin and I would love to be more involved, and we are so thankful that you're patient with us because, you know, we're primarily husbands and fathers and then pastors. And so Theocast is something that we are passionate about and love, but obviously on the list of priorities, we try our best to get into it. And so just thank you guys for being patient with us, even replying to emails and requests. A lot of you requested us to be on your podcast, and we are beyond like honored that you would even want that. And so thank you for inviting all of that stuff. We've been invited to conferences and to your churches. And so just know that we are kind of overwhelmed by how thankful you guys are and we have benefited greatly from it. So, but to kind of pick up where we left off, Justin, this is definitely a conversation that's starting. I think 2023, there's going to be a definite tone of helping people understand the connection between the gospel and the kingdom. And there's been a weird separation that has happened there. And it's really disheartening. So, the king, sets the tone, and we're just not listening to him. You know, we're kind of creating our own world for the king. And I think this was to kind of an introductory conversation to saying, like think about what the mission of the church is. Think about what the mission of the Word of God is. Think about the actual mission or the message of the gospel and the message of the Bible in general. And, you know, it's just interesting how there's not an absolute total change. It's just a slight change. And it's enough to put our hope on the thing that has no power. There is no power in a nation. There is no power in morality. There's only power in Christ in the gospel. Right. I'm going to stand by that because that's exactly what the Bible says. So I'll just kind of start there and throw it over to you.
Yeah. I have a few things that are on my mind. I mean, one, I'm thinking about recent content that we've recorded because of things that are being said publicly these days about the doctrines that are most missing in the church or what's wrong in the church. And I am one of these guys that I'm going to unashamedly, like you, continue to answer that question the exact same way. Like, what is it that the church needs? Well, it's what the church has always needed. It's clarity on Christ and his work.
That's right.
And it's a right preaching of law and gospel. And then if we're preaching Christ rightly, we're not just preaching Christ for justification. Hmm. We're preaching union with Christ for sanctification and eternal life. And if we're doing that, then we're getting the main thing right. Hmm. And I trust the Lord that what he says in his word, that via union with Christ and the Spirit of Christ taking up residence within us and working in and through us, under the right preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments in the church, that the church will be healthy as the Lord sees to that. And we're responsible, and at the same time, I trust God, and the things that we need to major on in the church are pretty plain to me, and we're going to keep doing those things. And I find it interesting and lamentable that people are offering all of these other answers as to what ails the church today, when I am convinced that in many, many, many churches, I would say the vast majority of churches, in our land anyway, there is not the necessary clarity on Christ and the gospel. There is not the right preaching of law and gospel. There is not a correct emphasis on union with Christ for the entirety of the Christian's life.
Yeah.
And we can't get that right. In my mind, we're kind of derailing the train before it leaves the station. Now, the Lord saves his people in spite of our failures and in spite of our error. There are people in the Church of Rome. There are Seventh-day Adventists. There are people all over the place whom the Lord is saving in spite of the formal doctrine of their churches. But for goodness sakes, I think we want to strive for clarity on the matters that the New Testament in particular is clear on. Hmm. And so that's my answers. And I know it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like, oh, well, you're just sticking your head in the sand, and that's a cop-out answer, or whatever. Yeah. But I just think that there has always been a tendency. You read Galatians, read Romans, read whatever. There's always been a tendency, Hebrews, to revert back to the law or to revert back to morality, to revert back to our contribution. And that's apparent everywhere in our church context, John. And if we're not speaking to that stuff first and foremost, then whatever else we're doing, I fear that we're just trying to treat symptoms and we're not really dealing with the disease and the systemic problem that's underneath all of it.
Yeah. Amen.
So that's one thought.
Yeah. No, you know, man, this is so complicated because it's like, you know, Justin and I, we never really want to be a discernment ministry. And a lot of what we're trying to do is like throw up a big red flag and just say, hey, you're kind of going the wrong direction here. And we just want to point you in the right direction. Cause sometimes, you know, like it's like with my, it's like my children, when I'm shepherding them, I have to point out what they're doing wrong at times. Like, hey, this is actually wrong. And here's the right way of doing it. Correct. But I'm not always telling them what they're doing wrong, because they're not always doing things wrong. So this is why we want to build, shepherd, and uplift, right? And so, you know, discernment ministries can be the, all it is pointing out wrong all the time. And that's just exhausting. If you ever worked for a boss and they never praise you, but they only tell you what you do wrong, it's like, can I ever do anything right? Yeah. And that's not what we're doing. You know, someone asked me if I was going to respond to, you know, Apologia Radio came after myself and Doreen Virtue about some stuff that we had done on, you know, theonomy, Christian nationalism, and there was something else I can't remember. Oh, dominionism. And, you know, and it was, you know, Doreen was just trying to help say, hey, you know, give us some warning signs here and then kind of point us in the right direction. So it was good. And she has a broad listenership. And, you know, I decided I'm not going to respond to this, to these things. And what's going to end up happening, Justin, is that, you know, as Theocast continues to go on and as you guys continue to support us, we're going to have a lot more targets on our back. And one of the things that Justin and I love him for is that he and I agree that if we get into always responding to critics, we're not going to be doing the very thing that we set out to do on this podcast, right? Which is to clarify the gospel and proclaim the purpose of the kingdom and help resting Christians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to have to, at times it's going to be like, oh, you guys are ignoring your critics. You're not listening to them, whatever. And it's kind of like, well, not really. We hear them, but we'd rather spend our time pointing you towards Christ than always trying to correct what people are saying against us.
Sure. And there's just no real good venue or avenue for that kind of dialogue on the internet anyway. No. And usually the criticisms are coming through those internet mediums, right? And so it just doesn't make sense to respond. And we just continue on and try to be clear on Christ and what he's done for us.
Yeah. I'll give you an example real quick too, to that, your point. The whole thing with Steve Lawson, you know, people came out and says, well, he wrote an article and you guys should have done your research before you put that out. Well, actually what we said was not untrue. And the article didn't actually touch what we were criticizing him for. It wasn't this just the statement that justification is just paperwork in heaven. Our criticism was on what he evaluated the problem with the church was.
Correct. And so there needs to be more introspection and serious evaluation as far as like the necessary evidences of the new birth and things.
Right.
And yeah, we fundamentally disagree with that. I'm trying to maybe think of other things that I could say. I kind of want to talk about that Christmas program I went to yesterday.
Do it.
It's kind of lighthearted, and in a way lighthearted, and in another way just grieving, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just say it as simply as I can. I have four kids. The older three are grade school age, and the fourth will be in kindergarten next year. And they go to a private school here in the area that is based out of an evangelical church in the suburbs. And it's kind of one of those old school, kind of semi-Pelagian, well-meaning, kind of hokey. I mean, I think people understand. Been around a long time, decent sized church. And, but the people that run the school have really good training and education and all this kind of stuff. So that's why we do it. Mm-hmm. And, they had their Christmas program yesterday. And so my wife and I went and watched. And it was interesting to me because, of course, this is kind of it's a Christian school, you know. And so it's a Christian Christmas program. And they're going on and on about keeping Jesus, you know, as the reason for the season and like that Christ's indescribable gift is what we need to be mindful of. And they're saying all this, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then the songs that they have the kids performing during the Christmas program are like Jingle Bells and Jingle Bell Rock and We Wish You a Merry Christmas, and sprinkle in a few, you know, like Silent Night was the only like traditional, like reasonable Christmas carol that has any like theological significance in it that was even a part of it. And I was sitting there, you know, next to my wife and some other people that go to our church too. And I was trying to restrain myself because I said, I mean, nothing says that Jesus is what Christmas is all about quite like Jingle Bells, you know, or nothing will remind you that, you know, we're here to celebrate Christ and his indescribable gifts, you know, quite like singing Jingle Bell Rock. And the reason I bring all this up is this school and this church would be comprised of people who are well-intentioned, who are like conservative, you know, God and country types, who are all about, they're very concerned with social, moral, political issues. And to them, it's hard to distinguish the difference between even, clearly, between Christ, you know, God the Son taking on flesh to accomplish the plan of God to save his people from the kind of traditional American Western trappings of Christmas time. Those two things go together because in order to contend for Christianity, we've got to contend for Christmas. You know, and like, you know, newsflash, guys, when somebody says happy holidays to you, you saying Merry Christmas, that's not evangelism. I mean, it's just not, right? I mean, you're not sharing the good news. It's not what we're called to do. It's fine for you to say happy holidays. And I'm bringing up a point here because I reflected with my wife. I said, you know, babe, I'm saying all this because I feel like I can on SR. This is an example of how people cannot separate Christianity from being American. And they can't separate Christianity in particular from conservative, gosh darn American culture, where for us, we've got to contend for silver bells and jingle bells just as much as we do the manger scene, you know, if we're going to really be faithful Christians and defend Christmas. And if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, you know, this is what we need to be propagating and telling people. Because somehow Jingle Bells is more godly than some other like holiday song this time of year. I don't know. Because somehow in our minds, we've hitched the Jesus wagon to cultural understandings of Christmas. But this is why people are jumping off the rooftops as they see the political and social climate in America change. Because to them, their Christianity is tethered to this moral, social, political, cultural environment. And if that's starting to go away, then the faith for them, the pillars that kind of uphold their faith are kind of being washed away with it. And I, for my own part, I would want to be a part of a situation where we can preach Christ, the law and the gospel and the Christian life in such a way where it would not matter in which land you live, wouldn't matter what kind of political system you're under, and it wouldn't matter, you know, what the cultural mores are wherever you are situated. But the church is the church, and Christ is Christ, and the gospel is the gospel, and the law is the law. And we're able to live together in meaningful ways in the church, regardless of what's going on around us. And it's not common. And I think that this is an illustration, you know, even this Christmas program yesterday was an illustration of some of the bad fruit that is born when the church hitches its wagon to social and political concerns and to the morality in a land. We lose our ability to discern the difference and the distinction between the common and the redemptive. And the gospel and Christ are obscured, even when people mean well and are sweet and well-intentioned and kind. So my prayer for these individuals and even for this school and this church is that increasing amounts of clarity on Christ and the gospel would result even as the political and the moral and the cultural landscape shifts around it.
Yeah, that's right.
That was long. Sorry.
No, and I'll just end with this. You know, we are presuppositionalists. We believe our position on humanity is that they have been blinded by Satan, that they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and that they're dead spiritually. And, you know, in many ways, a lot of conservative evangelicals who we've mentioned even today, they're kind of tired of being made fun of. And so they're kind of bringing they want to bring this sense of power back into their belief system. And like, you know, what we believe is an advancing kingdom that is going to take over and rule and reign. And Christ is ruling and reigning now, which I agree. Christ is the ruler of this world, but in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, and we don't understand why, he is not. Listen, when Jesus comes back, all those who reject him are going to face judgment. The reason why he has not come back is that he's not done rescuing his children. So just remember that. It's like you forget what's going on here. It's like,
well, and even our usefulness, man, like Paul says, for me, it's better to die. For you, it's better that I live.
That's right.
I mean, we ought to have that perspective. I'm not saying I do often, but it's, you know, I turned 40 recently and I just like, hey, you know,
whoa,
I mean,
age
is a number, but I'm just like, you know, the Lord has seen fit to keep me around. So clearly there's some good in me being here.
Yeah, dude, just to answer that, I mean, to add to that, it is interesting that Paul says that, because if Paul had a transformational perspective, he would not say that. He would not say,
no, of course not.
Because he would say, no, this world's getting better. It's good that I stay here. He's like, no, it's not. I kind of went out. Like, I'm kind of done. But because the advancement of the gospel needs to happen, I'm going to stay.
Correct.
Anyways, we could go on and on and on. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll do an episode on Christian nationalism, theonomy one day, but not today.
I'm sure we're going to have to with as common as it is now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
So, all right. Well, we
take
love
us,
you guys.
Take us out, man.
Yeah, and it's been a long episode. We got to go. See you guys next week. Bye.